Turn your Bibles to Romans 7 and 15. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to be here in your house, Lord. And Lord, as we lay our hearts bare on the altar, Lord, before your throne this morning, show us the things that you want us to see, the things we need to let go of so you can cleanse us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise the Lord. I was trying to think of a title for this sermon. I was praying about, thinking about, and what I feel like God showed me was, ask yourself, are you an Olympic swimmer in the river of life, or are you just a dog paddler? You know what the difference is? And usually you end up flowing with the stream because you don't. That's just enough to keep you afloat, barely. You know, usually when I tried that didn't work either. So, and let's turn to Romans chapter 7 and verse 15. I do not understand what I do. Sound familiar? For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Have you ever felt out of control? Helpless. You're just deprived of your strength. You feel powerless or you feel incapacitated. And you continue to make mistakes and you fail. We've all, I think, have felt that way. A lot of people feel this way, have felt that way. I think most people don't really feel that they have their life completely in control. Because we have persistent negative attitudes about something, don't we? About a person or thing or what's going on in our lives, our jobs, where we're going, or whatever. We might have a desire or desires, plural, that we deal with, and we deal with, and we deal with to the end of infinity. I want my life to be under control. I think you want your life to be under control. To have control over your attitudes. Wouldn't it be great? Have control over your emotions. Have control over your thoughts. Be the best you. I would like to be the best me. To be able to, us Christians, to express our potential in Christ. I would love to be able to do that. Amen. Because he created every person to be awesome. And he created me to be awesome. But have you ever felt this? You just can't quite reach that goal. Reach that level of success that you would like to be or you want. Or take hold of that dream. Basically, everything's a bust. That's how most people feel. My life's just a bust. You know, nobody starts out wanting to have a broken marriage or broken kids or broken life or broken jobs or broken anything. We start out life thinking, oh, we got this. Don't we have that attitude? And then that kind of persists through the 20s and 30s. You start to waver a little bit in that. By the time you get in your 40s, it's a bust. You just wrote that on your car. You ever seen somebody drive by? Bust. California bust. Will we write on their success or bust? And then pretty soon you just kind of scratch right through the word success. It's just bust. That's how we all feel, right? We never quite feel, it seems like no matter where we are economically, we just don't quite feel satisfied with self. We're at whatever station you're at in this life. And we seem to always, we're always having to adjust where we're at. And that's discouraging, isn't it? Then I thought, well, what makes one person successful and another person a failure when we look around at our lives? Well, one person has discipline over their minds, okay? Over their emotions, over their thoughts, and they meet those goals. And they make those steps to get where they want to be. But a Christian does not have to adjust to where we're at. We don't have to say, well, this is just the way it is. You ever felt that way yourself? You know, ever something goes wrong? Ah, it's just the way it is. Things just, you know, you feel that way? Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 25. Christians, we do not have to just adjust. We have in Christ, in a position, we have potentially more control through Christ over our, what's going on in our lives, what's going on in these things, than what you have you didn't have him in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 25. This is what's written. Do you not know that in a race, all runners, that's everybody, we all start out the same. We're running. We're all running toward that prize, but only one gets the prize. Run, so run in such a way that you get that prize, is what Paul's saying. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. I'm reading this out of NIV. They do it to get a crown that's not going to last. People go into the Olympics or go into different things. They will go to try and meet a goal and do things that's not going to last. It's not something that's forever. But, Paul says, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Amen. This is the winner attitude that Christians can have. Because we have a winner attitude. We go for the goal. Be the best that we can be because Christ is in control within if we let him. Okay. I like what he says here. It says he tells you about how the world will whatever their goals are, it's always towards something that's just cannot last. But a Christian goes for something that says we are the crown type of prize that we're looking for will last forever. Why? Because we're striving for something greater than what the life can offer. We are striving for something that can't be touched by people. People can't take it from us. We are striving for something that can't be ruined by situations or people's reactions to us or what they do. It's powerful and it's within us. It's God. And I'm talking about character. Life can offer all kinds of things. But only God can offer you a type of character that can handle anything. You can be happy. You can be stable. You can be fulfilled through any situation in life as a Christian with Christ being alive within you. When I say alive, I mean he's really active within you. We have that potential. Let's turn to, I guess you could just drop down a couple verses 26 through 27. I'm going to continue to read on. In that same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26 through 27, says, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I thought that was kind of funny. People running around, you know. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave. And the King James says, it brings it into subjection. So that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for that prize. This is a quote about a person who's in Christ, they are in control of their attitude, of their feelings, and their thoughts. They have taken their body and they have brought that body into slave. It's enslaved to the mind. The mind's decisions, I should say. The more control you have in Christ through working through you over your mind and your body, the freer you can be. I was thinking about that because think about this. Let's use a practical example. Everybody loves babies. Well, I think so anyway. I mean, I have many by the dome, but everybody loves babies, don't they? Everybody's like, oh, they're just so cute. But they don't have control over their body right away, do they? I mean, they can't walk, can't hardly, their limbs flop around, but they don't have any control over it. They don't even have control over their bowels. You know, we have to do everything for them as adults, right? But see, over time, adults will teach them, and they eventually have control. They learn to walk, or learn to crawl, learn to walk, learn to eat. Pretty soon, they learn to take care of their when to go to the bathroom and different things, and they become adults, right? They're taught by those who know. Someone who nurtures them, someone who teaches them, right? Well, that's what God does for us. God does the same. He can teach us. He'll nurture us. He'll get us there. He can teach us to have good relationship. A good relationship is freedom, isn't it? Think about it. A good relationship is freedom, whether it be a friend, a spouse, a child, a boss, an employee, whatever relationship you can think of. If it's working right, it's freedom. Amen. But a bad relationship can make you feel a lot of things. Like example, feel constantly tired and worn down. You ever get worn down arguing with your kids or trying to get them to do the right thing? Kids, you ever got worn down having to talk with mom and dad about the same thing all the time? Always watch what you say. When me and Amy first got married, trying to learn how to have a marriage, that was hard for me. To watch what I say, that I say a whole lot of things. And to have to watch what I say was stressful. You know, when you're motor mouth, it's hard to catch every little thing you say. And then you get physical problems because you're stressed out. Stress does all kinds of things to us. It can cause you have high blood pressure. It can cause, I can't remember everything, but it does a lot of things to you that's not good to you physically. Sounds like a prison, doesn't it? Sounds like a prison. True freedom. I'm giving you some examples of being in prison and what God can offer the freedom. True freedom is this. It's like keeping your mouth shut in the right moment. Being able to, you know, that's freedom. We think being freedom is being able to say whatever you want. I don't think people have a problem with being able to say whatever they want. People don't have that problem. There's no problem because look around. Look on YouTube and Facebook and every other media. Nobody has a problem in this country with being able to say what they want. We have a lot of problem keeping our big mouth shut. Especially when you need it, when it needs to be, in that moment. Because we don't have the freedom to close it. Because there's lots of times, and I'm sure everybody in the streamland out here, I'm sure that you can think of your own life. There's situations where if you could just would have kept your mouth shut, life would have been easier for you. And you made your own life problematic because you just couldn't keep, you didn't have control over that. I think a lot of people don't really understand what true freedom is. What we call freedom is not really freedom. People think freedom is you can do whatever you want. I've been hearing that a lot. Freedom in this country should be do whatever you want. That's kind of what their attitude is. But hey, hop in your car and drive the way you want, see what happens. Tried it a few times. Didn't work out well for me. Dress the way you want, or don't dress at all. See what happens in public. Well, you might be able to give it in some places, but most of the time you're going to get a, you know, whatever color your Mr. Officer is, we'll have a little talk with you. You can't, freedom is not about doing whatever you want. It's not having freedom. Is not even about what's going on inside your body. Like, in other words, how I feel has nothing to do with freedom. What you think is the difference between failure and success. It's talking about It's a perspective in this life. How you perceive your life, how you perceive responses, how you perceive things. It's a pattern of thinking. It affects whether or not you be success or not. And not even how you feel has a lot to do with that. It's what you're thinking. Many problems are in our lives, have been in our lives, because we lack understanding about life, about ourselves, about others. And understanding, I want to lay this foundation, understanding does not come through just knowledge and more knowledge and more knowledge. Because if that was true, then why isn't things a lot better? Why do we could learn, you could read scripture, and you still keep mouthing off. I know, because there was a time, for me, this was a lot. I listened back in the day when they used to call, it's called tapes. That was right before CDs and right before MP3 files. Just pretend like I'm talking about MP3 files. I listened to like 300 or 400 of them in just a very short period of time, maybe about 30 days to 60 days. So I had gotten a lot of knowledge, thought I was going places, but I still had the same problems. Read the Bible through several times, still had the same problems. Well, what God was teaching me was, you know, it's not just how much knowledge I can memorize or that I can learn. Let's throw this in there. It helps, but that's not all. I have to apply that knowledge to get the experience of understanding. Amen. It all working together. So what I like to do today, I don't have a very long sermon, but I like to explore the transforming truth from God's word on how can we succeed? How can we feel helpful? How can we feel useful? In other words, how can I stop feeling helpless? How can I stop feeling useless and all these things? So I want to talk about, well, there's some steps. I want to talk about meditating on truth, observing truth, accept feedback, and don't avoid confrontation. Okay, so let's start. We don't have time to look at every single step, but I want to at least point you in the direction you can begin your learning experience. So let's turn to Psalms 119, verse 15. Step one, meditate on the knowledge from God. So you're hearing sermons, you're reading your Bible, you're listening to streaming some sermons, okay? You're listening to your pastor or whatever, mentor. But see, I want you to understand that when I say meditate on the knowledge of God, that is scriptural. It said, David did it. He said, I meditate on your precepts, principles, and I consider your ways. I consider the way that you think, God, and I consider your principles you have in your word, the word that he had available to him. But this for us, it's a whole 6,000 years of experience in the Bible. Many of us, people, we don't do this with what we learn. We don't stop. Think about it. Why? Because our tendency, we have tendencies, is to take knowledge, memorize it, and think we got it all figured. That's it. You know, that's only a half a step. How far can you get on half a step? Oh, about like that. I guess you're really tall. Be like that. Whatever. You have to complete the step. It's half a step to take in knowledge, to take it in, to listen, to read, to receive. You have to complete the step, because just because you've learned a lot about the Bible, just because you listened to a bunch of sermon CDs or listened to MP3 players or heard a lot, asked, got a lot of counseling, that doesn't necessarily mean a lot, because in James 2 and 19, turn to the James 2 and 19, you will find this. You believe that there is one God. Good. But even the demons believed and they shudder or they tremble. Well, just because you guys listen to all these sermons, just because I do, and just because you read the Bible a bunch, well, so did demons and all the, and so did Satan. And the Bible says that demons believe in God a whole lot and they tremble, but look where they're going. Also, turn to Matthew 5. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 4 and 5 through 6. Matthew chapter 4 and 5 through 6. Even the devil learned about the scriptures, got them all memorized. He says, then the devil took him, which was Jesus, to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. He says, if you are the Son of God, and he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, because he's quoting the Bible to Jesus, he will command his angels concerning you. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Satan has even got this knowledge about what God thinks about things like that. But look where he's going to go. The Bible tells you where he's going to end up. And he's not a good guy. So just because you have knowledge, that's not, and just because you've got it sticking in here, you've got to do something with that. You got to think about it. Meditate on it. Try to understand, how does this fit into my everyday life? How is this going to fit into this moment? And the way you think of, you can come up with those when that happens, is you've got to meditate on it. You've got to think about it. So knowledge by itself is not enough of a step. You've got to take the whole step. Number two, you need to be observant. That's pretty easy. Observant. Let's turn to Revelation 16 and 15. We need to be observant. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he or her who watches, keeps their garments, lest they walk naked and others see their shame. Learn by observation. What I mean by that is this. Sometimes you take in what you learned, okay? What you've been taught by someone, or by someone, whoever God sends into your life, or God teaches you through something. Sometimes you don't observe what is taught. What I mean by that is you take that information, you don't look at other people around you. Well, how's it being worked out in this person's life? What's going on over here? How's the Bible working in Kendra's life? What's going on over here, over there? That information, we don't look around and see how it's being worked out in other people's lives. And we don't sit back and consider the cause and effect of things. You know, if I would have stepped back for a minute and looked over here at somebody that was just like me and say, man, every time their mouth's open, they get in trouble. Maybe I ought to keep my mouth shut a little more often. If I just would have stopped. Or see, you know, seeing someone stick their hand on a hot stove and get burned. If I would have been paying attention, I'm using these all as metaphors. If I'd have been looking at other people's lives, cause and effect, well, you know what? That person doesn't. You know, if I would at least learn some of these things early on, watch other people's lives, maybe I would have learned something a little sooner. See, we have attitudes toward other people. Excuse me. And we will look at a person's life, and we will have attitudes about something we don't like about them, something that bothers us. We don't take in consideration that this brother and sister in the Lord, we don't take in consideration their intent, because the Bible talks about intent, right? Have you ever stopped and be real kind of irritated with someone, frustrated with them, but when you got an opportunity to talk to them or you hear from someone else, they say, man, this person is really trying, but they just got this certain particular injury, emotional injury, and they keep making mistakes. All of a sudden, you kind of get this feeling of compassion. Man, I wish I'd have known. Oh, man, if I'd known that yesterday, I wouldn't have said what I said. Has anybody ever experienced that? I've done that. Like, I just let slam blasted someone. Then later on, I'll find out something I didn't know, and then I realize their intent, I didn't consider in that moment, their intent was to do right. They just goofed up. You handle people differently when you realize, you recognize their intent to, they want to do good. They want to learn. You feel differently about their mistake. You don't always take the overall effort that a person's putting into to their life in Christ. Sometimes a person is putting a lot of effort into learning, but they're just making mistakes. Sometimes we don't sit back and think about how much spiritual gain a person has made in their, that Christ has made in their life, because we're not being observant. We're just focused on all the negatives that we're bothered by in that person's life. We don't say, you know what, that person has really grown. They have really come far. Maybe they're just a slow learner like me, and they just need you to give them a little bit more space and more time. But you can't do that if you're not being observant. What's going on in people's lives? What's going on around you? What's going on in the body of Christ? What's going on with other brothers and sisters in the Lord? But the Bible says, if you are watchful, then you are blessed. You know what that means? That means if you are observant, you'll be more capable of ministering in the moment. See, we all miss moments to minister, to share, to strengthen, encourage. Sometimes I've heard parents say, oh, if someone would just go to my child that's struggling and, Lord, send someone their way. Well, God might send someone their way, but if maybe you are that someone, be observant. Catch that moment. The blessing is you're useful and you're helpful. The opposite of helpless. Number three, communicate and get feedback. Let's turn to Galatians 6 and 6. Step three, communicate and get feedback. Galatians 6 and 6. Let every time, a lot of times in the Bible you use the word him and brethren. It's in the Greek, it's generally both, male and female, because he said he created him, them, or he created him, male and female. So we're all one species. Let's keep that in mind. Let them that is taught in the word communicate unto him that or her that teacheth in all good things. I'm telling you this because of humanity's tendency, human beings, our tendency is to hide ourselves and we won't communicate. I'm talking about emotionally. What's going on up here? We'll withdraw. You don't have to withdraw physically to be withdrawn from people. To be all God wants you to be, you need other people in the body of Christ. We need each other. You need us. We need you. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 and 16. I'm thinking this is the scripture that Jason quoted earlier. Ephesians 4, 16. From whom the whole body, I like the way he says this part here, joined and knitted. You ever seen something knitted? My wife, oh, she crochets. She's saying, don't say the word knit. It's different. Knitted together by what every joint, by, this is how we're knitted together, by every joint supplies. It means we all share a measure of Christ that works together with each other. We're supplying each other with a measure of Christ. According to the effective working by which every part does its share. And then what happens when we all do this? It causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I like the way, I think this was the NIV had put it. You need the God that's in other people to give you what you need. The Christ I'm talking about, their major Christ. You need that. Let them do it. Now, here's one way. When I say, now that was talking about we need to interact, right? We need to communicate. We need to tell people where we're at. Now, sometimes if you're going to talk about a negative, sometimes you need to be careful who you share that with. You know, don't go to the weakest person in the body and tell them a bunch of bad things about yourself. Say that for the right person, the counselor that's going to give you feedback. Okay. Now, here's another thing you need to take in. When we're all out here interaction, right? We're a bunch of atoms boing, moving together. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. because I gave you two parts. We need to communicate what we're going, how we're feeling, what we're going through. As you're turning to that scripture, the first part of this step was, because this is the complete the step. You got to do both. Communicate. Let people know what you're going through. Communicate, because we don't often. And then the second part of that step is to be receptive of feedback. Be willing to get feedback. Ephesians chapter 4 and 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Sometimes, because I know I've been there, sometimes you don't want to hear from people of what their measure of Christ is. We don't want to hear it. Sometimes we don't want to hear feedback because we feel kind of, or maybe what we think, our thoughts or ideas might be stupid. Anybody ever felt that way besides me? That's probably a dumb idea. I don't want to share that, you know. That's one sometimes why we don't want to feedback. Sometimes we don't want feedback because we're afraid that there might be something wrong with me. There might be something wrong with you. And because you're afraid there is something wrong with you, what that feedback they're going to give you might confirm it. Confirmation is true. I'm stupid. But how are you ever going to get smart if you don't receive information? You know, so we're afraid of things about ourselves because we have emotional injuries. These emotional injuries are not true. They were given to you by your environment. Your environment is everybody you've ever known. Okay, and then your inability as a child to receive information incorrectly along the way. And Satan tried to reinforce it. But if there's something about you that is true and it's something that's wrong, it's something that's ugly, it's okay. If it's not yours, then what's the big deal? If it's not really you, then what's the big deal? Because God's going to clean you up. You know, you're going to be all right. He's going to make you beautiful. Because that's how he made you. You just got a bunch of mud on you. He's going to clean it up. But see, we need to be willing to bounce ideas off people, hear their perspectives, because sometimes that's how God's going to teach you. Sometimes God's going to share something with you. Sometimes that's how God's going to help you to stop. We pray, God, don't let me be blind, so God will send you someone to wake you up. You know, God, I don't want to be blind. God goes, well, okay, good, because, man, you got a big mouth. Let me see. I'm going to send somebody over your way. I'm gonna send your wife today to tell you got a big mouth. And then we get all mad about it. We ask God to help us, then we get mad about it. But if I'd have been more willing to receive that information, I could have learned how to get control over myself in that area a long time ago. Feedback broadens your opportunity to learn. It makes your learning faster. See, if only one person can teach you, how often do you get the opportunity to talk to that person? My growth sped up when I was willing to let other people teach me any way that God wanted to use them, wherever they were at, AKA, because Mike was my mentor, but he wasn't always available. Man, that guy travels around the world, does counseling, does all these things. He don't have time to be at my every moment when I need teaching sometimes. You know? So God was able to do more in my life when I said, okay, God, well, whatever vessel you use today, they don't have to be perfect. That's hard to do. But when I learned when I started being okay with that, God was able to use more vessels, and I started growing more. Okay, now the last point. Confrontation. This is very important to have in your life. And what I want to talk about this morning, this last point, confrontation as in, hey, confront yourself. Okay? Because your tendency is to be so desperate to lift your low self-esteem to feel okay that we won't confront those areas in our life that need to have the light of Christ shined onto it. Some, you might ignore signs of your own flaw by criticizing somebody you think's got a worse flaw. Sometimes we will get little glimpses of God or try to show a shine. He'll shine the light of Christ in your life, try to show you an area that he'd like to get into that area and do some cleaning, you know, but we got all kinds of locks on that door so God can't get in there. And God said, hey, just unlock those doors, let me in. Hey, I got a key. God's got a skeleton key. You know what I mean? But that means he can get into any lock. But he can't get in the lock if I'm standing here trying to block him from getting in. But I said, okay, God, just get in that door. Oh, man, you know, because when he kicks out the open, you know, his light was so bright, he even had to cover Moses' eyes, right? So he got, you know, so imagine what he's going to do when he knocks that door open. You can see all the ugliness, right? But God's going to clean that room. He's there to clean it up, make it awesome. He's the best. What do they call those people that do the house, designing of your house? I forget what they're. Yeah, and he's the best interior designer you've ever seen. Because he created the idea, the concept. He's going to clean that house. That's going to be awesome. But what we do is, instead of letting God into that door, we say, God, ho, wait a minute, God. Have you seen that dude's house over there? My neighbor needs some serious cleaning. That house looks way worse than mine. God's, yeah, but I didn't come here to clean his house. I came here to clean yours. But God, the house over there. We are afraid that what we're afraid to find out or acknowledge what might be true. So we don't want to. Because see, here's what we are often are afraid of. Maybe I am a bad person. Maybe I really do have those weaknesses that I think might be there. But see, if I stay blind, if you stay blind to your problems, you won't be able to grow. So we need to confront what's going on here, what we're thinking about. We need to open up to God. Sometimes that might mean to a person. God's representative, a pastor, or a counselor, or whatever. Open up. What are you thinking about? What is it that you're truly feeling? What do you really believe? What is your real fear here? Be open to yourself. God understands what's going on in you better than you. He can handle it. This will help you understand life better. If you will meditate on the knowledge from God, you'll be observant of life around you, what's going on in life around you. If you communicate and welcome feedback into your life and you confront yourself, we can deal with life much better. We can be the best that God created us to be, the best us. Thank you for being with us today. We hope you'll be with us next week at 11 a.m. God bless you, and we believe in you. Amen. Was there soft music on there? Couldn't tell. Yeah, I did. I said, step four. Got nervous. All right, I'll accept you. I accept you where you're at. Okay. Who? Verity. Yes. Yes. Okay. Anyone else on prayer requests? Okay. Don't forget there's a whole... Oh, sorry, go ahead. Okay, will do. There are cards in the back to sign, please. I just want to remind you that. Yes. Yes. She's up here going. No. It's going to be the old man's birthday. Oh, man. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's bow our heads. Father, we offer up these requests before you, Lord, that you be with Verity and you be with Wendy, the things that they're going through, Father, whether it be physical or emotional and the thoughts of their mind in life. We just ask, Lord, that you answer these requests according to your will and that we trust you with these hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hey, brothers, help me push these seats back, please. And straight back, not to left or right, but straight back. Ladies, can you help the guys by removing your body? And also help me bring the equipment, the workout equipment out. Thank you.